should ever live in good manner again before we take from the arms and ends of government.
Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin. I'm coming to you live from the Dominican Republic. Today is going to be a very special show. We're going to cover more excuses for inflation by our so-called betters, the political elites, and of course, how to fix Bitcoin's mining pool centralization problem. I'll get into more of the details of that in a little bit. We also have more articles from the legacy mainstream media bashing Saylor for what happened yesterday, so we're going to cover that. We also have BlackRock and Coinbase aligning, a very evil alliance. Opti is going to cover that as well. It's going to be a very special show. But first, how you doing, Opti? How you doing, bro?
What's up, guys? Hello, world. It's your boy, Opti. I'm here with the camera. Hopefully, it doesn't overheat on me. We shall see what happens today. But I'm excited to be here. Feel good this morning. I think it's going to be a good day, Nico. Let's just get into it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day. Going to say hi to everybody. We got BTC Pins. Good morning. We got Guy. Good afternoon, directly from Brazil. Shout out to Brazilian Bitcoiners. We got Vital. We got Joseph. He put the Dominican flag, he knows. And we got Loco, Diamond Hands Bitcoin. Shout out to all you guys. Shout out to everyone listening on Twitter Spaces. Anyways, Opti, let's get on to the show, brother. Time for
number time.
Brought to you by Noddle. They make some of the best Bitcoin nodes, like the Noddle 1, the one I'm holding in my hand. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. Remember, guys, if you don't run your own node, like the Noddle, you're using someone else's. And now, if you are a digital nomad, you have no excuse, because the Noddle guys just released Noddle Cloud. Run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit Noddle.eu. Dude, you guys have to run your own node if you aren't doing so already. Become a fully sovereign individual. Anyways, check out some of the numbers. Apparently, this is the screen view that you guys appreciate, so let's check it out. The price at the time of recording is $22,940. Sats per dollar, also known as Moscow time, 4,359. Block height, 747,952. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 15,215. Percentage issued. Look, it's moving up, Opti, 91.01%. Blocks to the halving, that number can't come any sooner. I want it to continue going down faster. 92,048 halving estimate. April 19th, 2024, less than 2 years away. Total Lightning Network capacity, 1,341 Bitcoin. Capacity value at present time, it's at $30 million, 30.8 to be specific. Hash rate, over the last 90 days, 209 exahashes, and annual mining revenue, we're at $14.3 billion. You want that number to continue going up. Anyways, very interesting numbers today. So today, I want to cover another excuse by the elites. Check this out. This is absolutely crazy. I could not believe when I read this. Mary Daly, she is the San Francisco Fed president. Anyways, let's check out what she had to say during an interview with Reuters. To quote, she says, "You know, I have to say that I live. I don't feel the pain of inflation anymore. I see prices rising, but I have enough that I can make substitutions, that I could do things. So I'm not immune to gas price rising, food price rising. I sometimes balk at the price of things," she said. "But I don't find myself in a space where I have to make trade-offs because I have enough, and many, many Americans have enough." There you go. So that's like let them eat cake, right? The famous line from Marie Antoinette. There you have someone who not only works for the Federal Reserve, is the president of one of the branches of the Federal Reserve, and she's literally saying to your face, hey, I'm okay. And I know all of a lot of other Americans are okay. So I guess I'm doing all right. Like, dude, the disconnect with these people is absolutely insane. Like, this is despicable stuff. Anyways, I also got a video for you guys as well. Let's check it out. It's funny. Comes from our friends down under, Australia, and they also are talking about the topic of inflation. Let's check it out.
2 decades.
Okay, let me explain. Inflation is not a scary word. Right now, it's been getting a little out of control here and around the world, which isn't good. But in a normal world, whatever that is, inflation means we're spending more. Our economy is growing and growth is good. But let's start with the basics.
So you heard that right, right? Inflation, our economy is growing, we are spending. Yeah, when they mean we, they really mean the government and central banks. It doesn't mean the people. So it's just crazy how indoctrinated society has been with this. Look, some inflation is good. It's necessary. It means that the economy is working. Everything's going fine. But at the end of the day, look, even when inflation is at 2%, your purchasing power is being stolen from on a year-by-year basis. And that's just a fact. And just a friendly reminder, and I tweeted this out the other day, the sole cause of inflation wasn't the virus, wasn't the supply chains. It was governments and central banks. They made the decision to print a record amount of money, and that is what we're feeling right now. And by the way, not only did they make that decision, which is hurting everybody, hurting their purchasing power, right? They have also not taken responsibility for that decision. They have gaslit us the entire way. First, they said there is no inflation. Then they said the inflation was by supply chains. They said inflation was by the virus. They said inflation was by Putin, right? And it took them a year to say, oh, I made a mistake. And here's the thing, guys. This is how much they disrespect you. This is how much they don't value you as a human being. They're doing the exact same thing with the recession. There is no recession. They're redefining the term of what recession is in front of our eyes. Opti pulled up the receipts the other day on a couple days episode. And yeah, this is absolutely despicable stuff. I don't think that there is a political solution to this. I don't think it's a matter of voting someone out of office. Both political parties, and look, I live in the United States, so I understand how the political system works here. And in other countries, I bet you it's the same, right? Whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats in power, they do the same thing. They print money. The Democrats might be for social issues, more, you know, societal stuff. And then the Republicans are, you know, for war and spending and, you know, making the military bigger and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, who loses? You do. Think about it this way. Not only do you get taxed for your income, not only do you get taxed for your property, not only do you get taxed for your purchases, now you're paying the hidden tax of inflation as well. I didn't sign up for that. Did you? Now with Bitcoin, you have an opportunity to opt out of that political money garbage, put your worth, your energy, your time into something that can't be debased, can't be confiscated easily. You become fully financially sovereign. And the psychological effects of that is something that people don't talk a lot about in the Bitcoin community. All of a sudden, you have hope for a better future. If you don't, you just saw that video. You just saw what the Fed, what the head of the San Francisco branch of the Fed said. I'm okay. I know other people are okay. Like, this is just absolutely despicable. But I can't blame these people at the end of the day. The fiat system is architected in a manner that there a few win and a whole lot of people lose. And Bitcoin, the incentives align with everybody. That is the beauty of Bitcoin. So yeah, join the peaceful revolution, opt out, say enough is enough, and yeah, take your wealth, your time, your work out of that parasitic system, because that's really what it is. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts?
Well, first off, this is just absolutely insane propaganda. Like the Fed president telling us he doesn't feel, or she doesn't feel inflation. Like,
bruh,
It's insane. The average person out there can see the inflation for themselves. They realize they can't buy what they used to buy. Everything is getting more expensive. I mean, Nico, you and I were just talking about housing prices and how they've gone up 80 to 90, 100% since they printed money. Like, this is absolutely insane. The elites are completely out of touch with reality, and they are just going to continue to try to spin this in any PR way they can so that the normies, so that you, the plebs out there, just get wrecked and eat this hook, line, and sinker. As we've been saying, guys, it's obviously very obvious that inflation is bad. Inflation is the hidden taxation. It steals from you very slowly. And as we've been saying for a while, the disinformation war continues. This is just standard information warfare. They are going to try to push this message so that you get hoodwinked, guys. And Nico, I really love that you brought up the meme that we like to push a lot is Bitcoin Zen. I think that this we need to all talk about this more, that Bitcoin does something to your psychology that you're more optimistic. You're more hopeful for the future. And imagine not having Bitcoin right now. I literally can't imagine it, because it seems like a totally different reality, because I am very hopeful. I am Optimus Fields for a reason. I think that we are going to make this if you understand what we're doing here and understand Bitcoin at first principles. 21 million hard cap, censorship resistant money. F you money. You can't touch my money. You can't steal from me slowly. This is the way, guys. This is why we do this. This is why we show up every single day to spread the sound money gospel. You're muted.
Sound money gospel. Amen to that. All right, guys, let's move on. Let's move on to the meat of today's episode. Let's check it out. It's time for
the daily news,
brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make some of the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the famous 3D printed Bitcoin grenade toy. Comes in any custom color your heart desires. That's right. You want it in Peter Schiff colors? Yeah, it comes in gold, and you can take advantage of the promo code down below to get 5% off. If you're in Europe, the European store is now open. Check out CryptoCloaks.com today. All right. So today, guys, we're going to talk about Stratum V2. Stratum V2 promises to further decentralize Bitcoin, and surprisingly, this article from Forbes does a really good job at summarizing it. And we got some other articles to, you know, further paint the picture. So let's check it out. It says Stratum V2 promises to further decentralize Bitcoin. It goes on to say decentralization has many different categories, from technical to culture and different stakeholders, from the developers of the Bitcoin core team to the exchanges that power fiat on and off ramps. Yet one area where there is a lot of focus are the miners that secure the Bitcoin network and its proof of work chain. Stratum V2 is an upgrade to the Bitcoin mining stack that aims to help miners as small as hobbyists with a few bits of ASIC mining equipment to have a more flexible and censorship-resistant route to communicating with mining pools. From mining pool concentration in China to how many miners can choose different mining pools, the amount of decentralization present in miners is an important consideration for the security of Bitcoin. After all, if miners that aggregate together in terms of mining pools embrace new policies such as censoring certain blocks, the promise of having a trustless censorship-resistant technology solution would give way to a new regime before the fact of centralized mining pool leaders who might be forced one way or another, whether they through personal incentives like greed or through pushes for country-by-country regulations to make decisions that benefit them rather than the network in aggregate. So what do Bitcoin miners do, right? You pool together your hashing power to have a more stable reward. That's what Bitcoin miners want to do. That doesn't represent that mining pool owns all of that hash rate. It's just a concentration of Bitcoin mining power in order to make the reward more consistent, right? And you want consistency because you are paying money to power those miners, and those miners can be very expensive, right? So that's why people use mining pools. Now, here's the problem, right? Is that what Bitcoiners want, what Bitcoin is doing, is separating money from state. And eventually the state is going to want to try to co-opt the Bitcoin network to make it an extension of the system we have today. You already see that. You've already saw that happening, right? You see that with the articles by Elizabeth Warren in the Wall Street, in the New York Times, right? It says, hey, you know, Bitcoin is going to be used to circumvent Russian sanctions, right? So again, is when we covered this about a week ago in an episode, are U.S. sanctions, is U.S. sanction policy, and again, this is just a thought experiment. I'm not saying break any laws, right? Color within the lines, but it's like, are U.S. is current U.S. sanction policy compatible with something like Bitcoin? That's an open network, right? I don't know, but it's definitely a good question. Now, let me pull up some examples of already mining, some mining pools trying to censor, right? Let's check this out. This is Marathon Miners, the famous Mara pool, right? Marathon Miners have started censoring Bitcoin transactions. Here's what that means. And Marathon Digital Holdings is a public company, and guess who they were blocking the transactions for? The U.S. Department of Treasury's specially designated nationals and blocked persons list. And it was called OFAC compliant blocks, but it wasn't only Marathon, right? It was also the Blockseer mining pool will only process specific transactions. You saw the same thing, and we were actually very upset when this happened, when the developers from Wasabi decided that their CoinJoin protocol was going to scan certain transactions and not allow certain UTXOs into the CoinJoin. And what is all this? This is a slow creep by nation states trying to co-opt Bitcoin into the existing network, of exclusion, right? The reason that Bitcoin is so inclusionary, right, is because all the red tape is removed, right? So if I'm in Africa and I have no ability to open a bank account, all of a sudden now I could download a Bitcoin wallet, takes literally 20 seconds, and now I'm connected with a global financial system, right? Which is Bitcoin, right? Look at the example with El Salvador, right? It literally took El Salvador 2 months for there to be more Bitcoin wallets than legacy bank accounts, right? And that's because not everybody has an ID. Not everybody has all the paperwork to open the heavily intensive KYC bank account, right? Whereas in Bitcoin, you literally just need to download an app on your phone, right? So, moving on, what are we to do with these mining pools? Because at the end of the day, look, could they fully stop this? No, in my opinion, they can't. Because what you're going to start to see is some judicial arbitrage where perhaps, you know, American mining pools aren't going to accept, you know, transactions from, you know, known Russians or known Iranians. But what you're going to see is then an Iranian mining pool accepting those transactions. And as soon as those transactions get added to the blockchain, there's nothing you could do about it. They're there. So the worst that they could really do is slow down transactions. But now that we have a very large majority of the Bitcoin hash rate located in the United States, that starts to become worrying, because you're definitely going to see more pressure by the US bureaucracy to start to censor more, specifically if we are right about Bitcoin and it does become the world reserve currency. It's inevitable that they're going to ask that. So what are we to do about it? Well, check out Stratum V2. Stratum V2 allows individual miners within a mining pool to choose their own blocks to mine rather than having to mine the one a pool proposes for them, while still benefiting from a more stable aggregation of mining rewards so they can defray volatility. Instead of the current paradigm of the pool offering an incomplete block template that an individual miner has to accept, now miners can optionally choose the blocks they want to mine and send it back to the pool. Stratum V2 also provides a bunch of different technical upgrades, from switching to JSON for communication to binary, to making communication more seamless, to reducing redundant communications between pools and individual miners, to cryptographic authentication that allows you to prevent man-in-the-middle attacks, such as your ISP stealing your hash power, which that would suck. So, why do I want to cover this today? It looks like there's an update. Foundry Digital donates 1 Bitcoin to develop working on Bitcoin mining pools. Foundry Digital is an institutional service provider for Bitcoin mining Holding has donated one Bitcoin to this developer in the Bitcoin ecosystem by the name of 4SS0, who is working on Stratum V2, according to a press release. Stratum V2 is an open source communications protocol that allows miners, their proxies, and mining pools to better communicate with one another, enabling larger contributions to the global hash rate of the Bitcoin network. I read you guys that part. The last part is a quote that I thought is interesting. The Bitcoin mining industry has evolved rapidly in the past 2 years, while the underlying protocol that coordinates the miner in the pool has stayed stagnant, said Jay Benedict, VP of Research at Foundry. Foundry views Stratum V2 as a major improvement of the current Stratum protocol and is aligned with our mission of empowering decentralized infrastructure. So yeah, I'm very bullish on this project. I hope it continues, and I'm very glad that there is funding by the community to continue it. I think that it's essential that more and more decentralization is always a good thing, right? And how it's currently structured, right? It's the mining pool that gets to decide what block, if they find the block, gets included into the blockchain. And that is a point of weakness, right? Because there could be political pressure. There could be countless things that block, that mining pool is like, listen, I don't want to include certain people that the U.S. government blacklists because I do business in the U.S. But if you take away the mining pool's ability to get to decide what block they are included and what block are not included, then at least, you know, it's the example that I'm going to give, it's that letter that Canadian company sent the Canadian government. Says, hey, I don't have access to that stuff, even if you wanted me to give it to you, right? So at least there's, you know, deniability there, where how it's currently set up, there is no deniability because the mining pool is the one who gets to choose which block is included and which block isn't included. So I'm glad that there's development with this. I hope it keeps going. I know that there's some problems with it as well. Hopefully we can get a more technical person to discuss this in the coming weeks or months. But I think this is a very promising development, and I'm very excited to see the future of Stratum V2. I think it's essential as Bitcoin continues to become more and more popular. And because it's becoming more and more popular, you're going to see more and more pressure from nation states to try to remain in power and control. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, you know me, I'm not the most technical Bitcoiner, nor am I a miner, but I am glad to see this come out. I've been hearing a lot of talk about this from a lot more technical people than me that have a higher level concerns that it's above my pay grade is all I'll say. But I am very glad that you brought up the Marathon and the OFAC, because that was the first thing that I thought when you brought up this news. It's like, oh, all right, cool. Like, now we can, you know, route around that like always. But anyways, first off, you said something about, people in Africa, and shouts out to, what's his name, Vital Official in the chat from Rwanda. We worldwide right now, let's go. But I did do a little research this morning. I didn't do too much because I knew you'd cover that. So I went on the Brained website, and, I was, you know, very bullish that this is going to increase decentralization. And like you covered, it's going to make it better for miners to choose what blocks and what transactions they want in the block. So absolutely bullish, in my opinion, increases censorship resistance and decentralization. So let's go. I love this. I can't wait to see this get implemented in all mining pools, because that would be absolutely bullish and it would make the Bitcoin network that much stronger. And this is what we need to increase the strength of the network, guys. We need to make sure that the nation states can't attack Bitcoin, even though they haven't been able to already. So increase the strength of Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is the way. And I'm happy to see this, Nico. Very happy to see this.
Yeah, it's an arms race, right? You constantly have to be ahead, because the government's just, and again, it's an evil thing. They're acting following their own incentives, you know? So yeah, we have to stay ahead of the curve. That's for sure. Anyways, I want to check this out. Check out this tweet from Corey Clipson, CEO of Swan. He's been absolutely murdering it on Twitter lately. A regulatory turf war is being encouraged and funded by the big money crypto scammers like A16Z and Coinbase. They're trying to get anyone other than the SEC to regulate them because otherwise the free money scam machine stops. Check this out. Corey was absolutely right. Check out the Bloomberg article. Push to give derivatives regulator more sway over crypto trading gains, Steam. A push in Washington to transform the U.S. derivatives regulator into a top crypto watchdog is gaining steam with a Senate bill that would give the Commodities Future Trading Commission sweeping new powers to oversee the asset class. The CFTC, whose purview is now mostly limited to crypto derivatives, would get the ability to police trading in the largest digital assets under the plan introduced Wednesday by Democrat Debbie Stabenow and Republican John Boozman. The legislation backed by the two top members of the Senate Agriculture Committee, which is weird. Why is the Agricultural Committee getting in Bitcoin? And well, now we know, thanks to Corey. It's because looks like some of their donors, Coinbase A16Z, perhaps might have had some pressure. Senators Cory Booker, a New Jersey Democrat, and John Thune, a South Dakota Republican, are also original co-sponsors of the bill. One in five, this is to quote them, one in five Americans have used or traded digital assets, but these markets lack the transparency and accountability that they expect from our financial system. Too often, this puts Americans' hard-earned money at risk. Stabenow said in a statement, that's why we're closing regulatory gaps and requiring that these markets operate under straightforward rules that protect customers and keep our financial system safe. Again, I don't believe when politicians say that at all. Anyways, crypto executives, here's what Corey said, crypto executives have been pressuring for the CFTC to get more power as they resist Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Gary Gensler's assertions that many digital coins are securities under the SEC's purview. Industry trade groups, including the Blockchain Association and the Crypto Council for Innovation, put out statements in support of the senator's efforts, right? The Coinbase and whatever. Remember, guys, Coinbase is currently under investigation by the SEC because of why? Because they're pushing securities. But they're hoping that they get regulated under the CFTC so that half their business model literally doesn't go away overnight because Coinbase made a bet to sell shit coins, some of which are definitely securities. I would make the argument that all of them are securities. Anyways, the new proposal would give the derivatives regulator direct oversight of tokens that qualify as digital commodities, which according to a summary of the plan include, here it is guys, Bitcoin and Ether, the two largest digital assets. We don't believe that Ethereum is a security. It is a security. We believe that Bitcoin, you know, is treated as a commodity. Ethereum definitely isn't a commodity. If Vitalik could snap his fingers and change the monetary policy of Ethereum, or like Saylor said, if Vitalik could snap his finger and literally wipe out the whole Ethereum mining industry, then is it really a commodity? No, it sounds like a security to me. But apparently, Ethereum definitely has enough lobbying power for that not to be so. Anyways, let me close this. Look, I think this is just beginning, right? But I think that there is a silver lining here. Silver lining is not only do you have the crypto bill being pushed by Senator Gillibrand and Senator Cynthia Lummis, you also have bipartisan moves, you know, perhaps not working towards something that we would like, but at least you see Republicans and Democrats working together. And what was worrying me the last couple of months is that for some reason, left-wing parties all around the world were the ones attacking Bitcoin. And the excuse they were using is Bitcoin's energy usage. Now, when I see Democrats and Republicans working together towards passing, you know, favorable Bitcoin and shitcoin regulation, that puts a smile on my face because at least I know that that is another attack that's at least being, you know, calmed down a bit, right? I want this to be completely bipartisan because if we want to separate money from state, we need to incentivize politicians from both sides of the aisle not only to like Bitcoin, but to hold Bitcoin as well, because then it's just following their own incentives. They're not going to regulate something that's going to hurt them financially. So this is a really good pattern. This puts a giant smile on my face because I was seeing a troubling pattern, and that pattern was, goddamn, dude, this is becoming a partisan thing, and that's the last thing that I want to happen. At the end of the day, Bitcoin is for everybody. Bitcoin helps the right-wing ideology of sovereignty, liberty, and Bitcoin helps the left-wing ideology of helping the underprivileged, helping the unbanked, helping the people that got hurt the most by the financial system. It literally helps both sides. Bitcoin is apolitical, and I'm glad that you're starting to see a bipartisan effort in Congress to help it. So at least there's a silver lining. It fucking sucks. But again, I'm a libertarian at heart. I don't think that the U.S. government, which Bitcoiners should be cheering the U.S. government to kill Ethereum by claiming it a security. That is some weak sauce. We need to beat it in the free and open market. That's how we win. We don't win by hoping and loving some government regulation to stomp out our competition. That's some crony capitalism bullshit. So when I see Bitcoiners saying that on Twitter, I'm just kind of like, dude, do you hear yourself right now? I get that you don't like Ethereum. I get that Ethereum centralized. I get that Ethereum centrally planned. But dude, come on, man. We got to beat it fair and square. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, the CFTC can say that ETH is a commodity or hope that ETH is a commodity, but we all know the truth that ETH is a scam, point blank, period. It is the biggest affinity scam in the space. But I agree with what you said, Nico. You know, I'm not big on the government. You know, they could go fuck themselves. I'm not big on authority. So I would much rather just see Bitcoin win on the free market, which I believe it is doing as we speak. So just continue to push Bitcoin. But I think this is a greater point that we've been saying for a while about the WEEF and the ETH being intermingled. And is there some kind of pressure on the politicians from the global cabals, the WEEF members, to add Bitcoin or sorry, ETH as a commodity so that they can, you know, slide this through under the rug and continue to scam in peace. But as I believe it was Congressman Warren Davidson said, there's Bitcoin and there's shitcoin, guys. This is what you need to show people, that there's a fundamental difference between Bitcoins and shitcoins. And this is why we do what we do. And I really love that you added Bitcoin is for everyone, because I was going to say the exact same thing. As we like to say on Twitter a lot, Bitcoin is for enemies. As Nico likes to say, Bitcoin is a bipartisan issue. And as everyone needs to know, Bitcoin is for everyone. Everyone needs Bitcoin right now because the legacy financial system is wrecked, guys. Bitcoin is the escape, and they know it. So they have to muddy the waters, hence why they're doing what they're doing. It's very simple propaganda, guys. We are propagandists and we're proud of it. So we know their techniques. As Nico always says, know your enemy and know how they work. This is why we do this.
Yep, this is why we cover. This is why we get our news from the legacy financial media. You gotta get inside their brains if you beat them. Anyways, Simona had a really good comment. He or she, Nico, you're wrong. After the bill will be passed, ETH needs Bitcoin to have in such a bill. Bitcoin will be banned because it's proof of work and not proof of stake. So I don't agree the intentions of politicians. They could be pulling a fast one. I absolutely agree. But remember how the U.S. is structured, right? The individual states have a tremendous amount of sovereignty over the federal government. And specifically with the ruling, West Virginia versus the EPA, right? The Supreme Court struck down the EPA's ability to get control how states are producing power and how they're not producing power, right? So, for example, if New York State, which is what they're doing, bans proof of work, if California bans proof of work because it's so-called energy usage, what you're going to see, you're going to see that opportunity flock to more friendly Bitcoin states. And you're seeing that in real time with a lot of Bitcoin miners going to Texas. Texas is a Bitcoin stronghold. It is the Bitcoin Alamo. It's not going anywhere. Bitcoin is so entrenched there. You have a very well-known a very well-known politician, Ted Cruz, that ran for president. He's literally talking about, in some of his political rallies, about how awesome Bitcoin is, right? So, yeah, I don't see Texas going anywhere. You also have Wyoming, right? Cynthia Lummis, she's working so much on the Bitcoin bill, because Wyoming, at the end of the day, it's a very poor state. And what they're doing is they're trying to attract business by getting the Bitcoin banks, whether that's Catlin Long's a bank or Kraken Bank, set up there, right? So again, if it was any other country with a strong central government, I would say, yeah, perhaps maybe this isn't such good news. But because it's the United States, because of how the United States is structured government-wise, I'm very bullish on the future of Bitcoin in the U.S. So, but you definitely still have to be careful, and you definitely can't put your guard down. Anyways, let's move on to the fail. Opti, you got to enable permissions in the settings for you to share screen.
Okay, sir. Let me figure this out.
It's time for
The Daily Fail.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best place to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. Swan Bitcoin aligns with Simply Bitcoin's values. Why? Because they incentivize taking Bitcoin into self-custody, which is how we win this decentralized revolution. And of course, they incentivize dollar cost averaging. Spread out that risk, layer into Bitcoin, use it as a savings technology rather than speculation. Check out swanbitcoin.com today.
Nico, I'm having technical difficulties. It won't let me share. I guess I messed up, but I can still try to cover it.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll pull it up. I'll pull up the screen.
Okay, just pull up the article. Apologies, guys. Again, I updated my computer. It's messing up with me. But we are going to cover the BlackRock news. I hope Nikon could pull it up for you guys. So let me just cover these headlines. Just follow along with me. We are on Bloomberg, and we got a headline right here, and it goes, BlackRock teams up with Coinbase in crypto market expansion. So I'm gonna break down this article, and then I'm going to tell you a little story, and then we're going to get some Bitcoiners' takes, and we will discuss this. So, as you can see, BlackRock teams up with Coinbase in crypto market expansion. The partnership will help clients oversee their Bitcoin exposure, even in the face of Coinbase facing an SEC probe. So BlackRock is partnering with Coinbase to make it easier for institutional investors to manage and trade Bitcoin. And of course, Coinbase's stock exploded 32% since this news. So top BlackRock clients will be able to use its Aladdin investment management system to oversee their exposure to Bitcoin along with other portfolio assets such as stocks and bonds, and to facilitate financing and trading on Coinbase's exchange. The focus of the partnership with Coinbase will initially be on Bitcoin. I guess some silver lining, at least they're not going straight into shitcoinery, but we will explain why this is a fail. Just follow along with me. So the move underscores how Wall Street's traditional financial players are expanding deeper into crypto and related technologies even after this year's meltdown in such assets. Of course, they got to mention the price, but BlackRock chose Coinbase as a partner because of its scale in the market and its role in providing trading, custody services, prime brokerage, and reporting capabilities. The services will be available for clients of both companies. Our institutional clients are increasingly interested in gaining exposure to digital asset markets and are focused on how to efficiently manage the operational life cycle of these assets, says BlackRock's global head of strategic ecosystem partnership. And here's some bullish signal in here for you guys. Institutional investors accounted for about 3/4 of the $309 billion in trading volume on Coinbase in the first quarter. Remember everyone saying, institutions come in. Well, they're here, guys. The Coinbase partnership between BlackRock and Aladdin is an exciting milestone for our firm. We are committed to pushing the industry forward and creating new access point as institutional crypto adoption continues to rapidly accelerate, says head of Coinbase Institutional. So here we go a little bit at the end, and this is where we'll start to go into the fails. For BlackRock, the partnership is the next step in a wider strategy to expand its digital assets. CEO Larry Fink said in March that the firm was studying the growing importance of digital assets and stablecoins and how they can be used to help clients. And one last tidbit, the following month, the company joined a group of investors in Circle Internet Financial, the issuer of USD Coin, a stablecoin. So apologies for not having the links, Nico. You could just maybe put my face on here. I went and did a little research. We wanted to tell you why this is a fail. Well, if you followed Simply Bitcoin for a while, you know that BlackRock is one of the biggest, not only, as I say, the largest asset manager in the world, but they are very, very strong-handed in pushing the ESG narrative. And what is the ESG integration? You already know what it is. But for those that are new to this, it's the environmental, social, and governance integration, or as they like to call it, sustainable investing. And I think here's the meat of it. ESG metrics provide insight into these intangibles such as brand value and reputation by measuring decisions taken by company management that affects operational efficiency and future strategic directions. And I'm just going to read you a headline from BlackRock on their news site, Managing the Net Zero Transition. We have investing in the transition to net zero. BlackRock to establish perpetual infrastructure strategy. Amazing, amazing. And so I wanted to, you know, dive a little deeper into BlackRock. Let's see what's going on. And I found this article by Business Insider, and it says 9 fascinating facts to know about BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager. And I'm just going to give you the headlines of it because I want to get into the fail aspect. BlackRock oversees $10 trillion, making it the largest money manager in the world. It runs a massive technology platform that oversees at least $21.6 trillion in asset. BlackRock has hired many former government officials into senior roles. Then we have the firm played a significant role in aiding the Federal Reserve in early 2020. The Federal Reserve tapped BlackRock during the last financial crisis as well. 6, Fink has been vocal on matters of climate change, urging other companies' leaders to consider the associated risk. And the last one, BlackRock has made lots of acquisitions. Think of BlackRock as a firm that has gobbled up lots of competitors in its path over the years. The firm has purchased legacy businesses and fintech startups looking to keep an edge as traditional money management isn't as profitable and unique as it once was. Well, I really wish I had this for Nico. Maybe I can get it to you guys really quick in the chat. Oh, my camera is off too. Wow, really wrecked. Oh my God, amazing. All right, Nico, I think I need a new camera up in here. Jesus. Okay, 1 second, guys. Here we go. Let me get this headline to Nico. Maybe he can get it to you guys. And the headline goes, this was dated October 13th, 2017. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink calls Bitcoin an index of money laundering. Well, here we go again. Just the narrative switch is amazing. It only takes 4 or 5 years for people to come around, or rather, as I like to say, they got to PR spin this in one way or another. So what do? They FUD Bitcoin so that they can buy their position. And then once they have a position, they will announce that they are entering the space. This is standard FUD and propaganda from no coiners and shit coiners. So I put this out on Twitter this morning. Justin, Coinbase partners with BlackRock to provide institutional clients of Aladdin access to Bitcoin. And of course, my commentary, lol, match made in hell. And then we got a comment here by our friend Uploading Logic, and he goes, government Bitcoin capture strategy engage. Agreed. And we got another one by at Bronze Foz, and he goes, rehypothecation is the state attack. And continue. I really wish, here, Nico, I'm going to send you another one because we need to see this. We need to see this one up on here because it is a meme. And you know me, memes paint a picture. And this one's by @PedroMVPG. And he goes, Shitcoin Casino partnering with fiat platform to capture more Bitcoin under management is not good news. GTFO of the Bitcoin custodian. And we have Sovereign Bitcoiner, KYC exchange, and investment platform. I really hope this is up for you guys to see. And one more comment before I go into more of the bullish silver lining sentiment of here. We got @GhostBand7, and he just has the Bitcoin white paper, and he's underlining one very important sentence. A purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash would allow online payments to be sent directly from one party to another without going through a financial institution. Guys, this is why we do this. But just for some silver lining stuff, because we like to put some positive spin. While I believe this is a fail, Coinbase partnering with BlackRock. BlackRock is trying to, you know, buy every asset in the world. It definitely feels like regulatory, or not regulatory capture, but a corporate capture, because they are big companies. They are working together, and now they are working in lockstep to push the BlackRock narrative, which we know to be ESG narrative, hence all the shit coins on Coinbase. Anyways, here is maybe more of a off the wall take, but I think this is actually a legit take. Say what you want. You guys could rip me in the chat, but this is by Alexander Leishman, and he goes, Coinbase deserves its fair share of criticism, but trust me, you do not want them to lose to FTX. Coinbase has a core ethos of economic liberty. FTX is a pure player of the game where morals only hold you back. Be careful what you wish for. And a couple more, and we got one by Greg Foss, and he goes, people are missing the significance of the BlackRock / Coinbase announcement, in my opinion. It will be said, in hindsight, it was obvious. Completely agree. And then this last one, I got to throw in some joke memes in here, guys. We got Matt O'Dell, and he goes, Coinbase rugging BlackRock and their clients would be the best timeline. So, Nico, what are your thoughts? Obviously I consider this a fail. We've been covering BlackRock on here for a long time. We know what narrative they're trying to push, and for Coinbase to be in the news for SEC fails, and now they are in the news for teaming up with BlackRock, in many people's opinion, the enemy of humanity. But hey, I am just a pleb. I don't have an authority figure. I am not a political pundit. I am just a guy on the internet that put in the time to study Bitcoin and starts to see things. As we like to say, we are just plebs with Bloomberg accounts. So, Nico Jones, what is your view on this?
Yeah, look, BlackRock they own a slice of every major corporation. If you go to Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, you'll see that one of the biggest shareholders is BlackRock. When you invest in an index fund, right, you are investing in BlackRock, right? And because of that, they own basically every single corporation. They have a share in it. And because of that, Larry Fink, which is the CEO of BlackRock, gets the voting power of holding all those shares. Therefore, he's extremely influential. And Larry is a big fan of the whole ESG movement as well. So to see him allying with a company like Coinbase definitely did it out of desperation. Their stock got absolutely hammered in the last couple of months. Yeah. And I think Alex Leishman, which is the CEO of River Financial, I'm sad that he doesn't know better, because I think he's wrong there. Coinbase has always acted like it was an enemy of Bitcoin. Their incentives don't align. They're incentivized for shitcoin surviving, meaning they have to ally with the state in order to ensure that happens. And Bitcoin inherently is anti-state. I just don't think it's compatible. So it's like, yeah, Coinbase definitely sells Bitcoin, but Coinbase also sells shitcoins. And this really started to show, like, I'll give you guys an example, was when Coin Center was basically the lobbying effort for the Bitcoin and shitcoin industry. But then we got absolutely ambushed during the infrastructure bill. The Treasury snuck in some provisions that were inherently anti-crypto, Bitcoin, and shitcoins. And that's when the Bitcoin community realized we can't have CoinCenter fighting for us. We need to have our own lobbying efforts, right? So it's like, just because they're in the shitcoin industry and the crypto industry does not mean that its incentives align with Bitcoin, right? At the end of the day, all shitcoins are an attack on Bitcoin. Shitcoins don't need to exist if Bitcoin does what it's supposed to do. Does it really need to be a token? Doesn't need to be a token. But if it's not a token, then the founders can't enrich themselves, right? So yeah, virtual reality me had a really good point, right? BlackRock owns MicroStrategy. I would not be surprised, right? They own basically a stake in every major corporation, BlackRock and Vanguard. So I sent you a tweet by Greg Foss, Opti. I don't know if you've read it, so I'm gonna
pull it up.
I'll grab it for you.
I have it right here. One second. Apologies, guys. New computer. I am trying to figure it out. I thought I had it all worked out for you guys because
here,
obviously it's not. Put it in the private chat.
Got it. Let me pull it up. Here we go. Greg Foss says, people are missing the significance of the BlackRock/Coinbase announcement. It will be said, in hindsight, it was obvious. I agree. Look, at the end of the day, you know, we're taking the more cautious pleb Bitcoin perspective where we're just like, okay, but I don't really trust those guys. At the end of the day, they do have access to a significant amount of the world's wealth. And if a portion of the world's wealth is buying Bitcoin, that's bullish. But I bet you none of that wealth would be taking self-custody. So it would literally wouldn't be solving anything because now it's BlackRock that is owning and holding a lot of the world's Bitcoin. Definitely don't want to hear that. Anyways, all right. Let's move on to the meme review. Time for
the daily meme review.
Brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. It's stories, articles, comics by actual Bitcoiners. This is artwork for volume 10. This is the artwork for volume 11, and this is the artwork for volume 2. Volume 2 is almost sold out because there's only 1,000 physical copies made per volume. Get your prints of Citadel 21 today before they run out.
All right, guys. This one's going to be a little different than usual. This is a little longer meme than usual, but I really feel that we need to play this whole video completely. And since I don't have all my other stuff, maybe it'll be a wash. Okay, so let me play this for you guys because this is absolutely hilarious. Shout out to D. Whitman, BTC. I tagged the wrong D. Whitman on today's Twitter post, but go follow at D. Whitman, BTC. He's been putting out fire signal on Twitter, and he got this from apparently a shitcoiner, but sometimes shitcoiners can give you guys truth, so check this out.
Hail.
Oh, yeah. Well, I gotta say, I'm incredibly excited to be part of your DAO. I mean, the community you've built is absolutely...
Fuck the community.
Yeah, and it's a great tweet. You can't play more of it.
Okay. All right. Nico's censoring me, guys. No, I'm playing. All right, let's see if I can get this other one, a couple of more of these up on here so you can see them. We got the next one by Ghost of Becca. She's been killing it with the Bitcoin Twitter gossip weekly. And this one, of course, I had to put it out, not just because we are in it, but because we want to give HODLNOT some support. And everyone out there, you guys should know that HODLNOT is the next one on the plate to battle CSW. So we are all HODLNOT, and he is going to be in court in September to fight fake Toshi. So go give him some support because he's definitely going to need it. He's in for a battle. And man, just stand strong, HODLNOT. We know you're a strong guy. We know you're going to make it. So let's go. Next one is by RDBTC. And it's inflation again. Central bank's inflation. It's Simpsons. He's kicking out, what's it, Mo? And it goes, raise the interest rate by 1 bips. Central banks. Inflation right behind them. Of course. Okay, let's see what this next one is. Nika, tell me what's up at the time, because I am not looking at the time right now. But we have one last one. Yes, we will do one last one because I think we're getting to the time. This is by @ShireHoddle, and we talked about the Solana fail yesterday. So, of course, I got to put a meme on here today, and it's a variation of the Drake meme. Drake is Solana, and it goes, TPS equals transactions per second? Nah, TPS equals thefts per second. So, let's go. Okay, all right, guys. Well, I apologize for my very clunky meme review today, but I have an epic meme score that I picked out specifically for you guys, because I do this for the culture. So hold on, we got a basketball, because everything is basketball, boys and girls.
I got some flour or wheat in a vase. Yeah, it's a good score. Anyways, guys, let us know. Put your score down in the chat. Make Opti and I feel very uncomfortable while we read it. Do it quickly. We got some BTC pins. You're going to play the yellow video, right? His lock says, Nico looks like that lady on the European beer. I'll give them a used golf tee. Oh, man. All right, guys. Good scores for some awesome memes. We are all hot a lot. Yes, shout out to his glorious fight against Fake Toshi, also known as Craig Wright. We got BTC pins. I give those a Zeus hat. That's a very good score. Love your pins, brother. Love your pins. Wear them all the time on the show. Oh, Loco. Very clever. A Black Rock. Oh, Marius is going to make us feel uncomfortable. He's going to give it a shit score. He's going to give it one Solana NFT. This is simply Bitcoin, brother. You got the wrong show. And Alexander gave it an orange heart. Anyways, awesome scores for some awesome memes. Guys, join our Telegram group. The link is down below. It's absolutely free. It's a hangout in there. Bunch of Bitcoiners just posting memes. We can review the memes that you post on the meme score. It's going to be awesome. Definitely want to join. But anyways, today we have a software release. Let's check it out. All right. The software release is brought to you by CipherSafe. CipherSafe is the best way to store your Bitcoin seed. You don't want to store it on paper. Paper is water prone. It's fire prone. It's water prone. Definitely don't want to do that. You want to store your seed on metal. Metal is a lot better. It lasts a lot longer. And it's waterproof. It's dogproof. It's fireproof. Store your seed on the Cypher wheel or the Cypher grid, which you can get at cyphersafe.io. Anyways, today, guys, we have a software release. Let me check it out. Let me pull up what we have today. We have Opti is sharing the screen. I'll let Opti take it.
Let's go, guys. I'm stealing Miko's job over here. Today's release is Raspi Blitz version 1.8.0. It adds web UI and additional features, backend API, ZRAM, Core Lightning, Albi. Let's go. Home dashboard, Itchy Sash, CK Bunk. Dang, this is a... Hey, yo, this is a good release. All right, guys. I didn't read this. Nico put this on here. Let's go. I'm going to have to definitely update my Raspi Blitz. Anyways, guys, go check us out on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and of course, we are on Fountain App. So if you are part of the Value for Value economy, stream us some sats if you think we are providing value to you guys, and we will be back next tomorrow.
Yes, we will be back tomorrow. Guys, we want to apologize for any technical difficulties. Opti and I are transitioning the show to a live show, so you're going to see all the mistakes, all the catastrophes. We did this with the original show as well. You can go back to the old videos and you'll see we had no idea what we were doing. Bear with us while we transition to a live show. So I want to give a shout out to one of our researchers, Hans. He does an incredible job hanging out in the Simply Bitcoin script Telegram chat, helping us with the research. So shout out to him. And of course, a very special shout out to our awesome clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. He's wearing the t-shirt, Trust No One. I'm wearing the Represent camo hoodie. I feel like I'm a militant Bitcoiner, so I'm always wearing the camo stuff. I like the tip. Make comfy stuff, stylish. He makes Bitcoin merch, obviously, because that's what Opti's wearing. He's going to make Simply Bitcoin merch. It's awesome. It's stylish. You definitely want to check out RepresentLTD.com. Guys, that was our show. Hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, it's live, so you get the authenticity, but you also get the mistakes. We are your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. If you enjoyed the show, you want to see more, definitely consider subscribing to Simply Bitcoin, and we'll see you on the next ones. See you later, guys.
Which one's the best crypto asset? Well, Bitcoin's the best crypto asset. Okay. What's the second best? There is no second best.